Certainly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the ALAC Leadership Team ALT Monthly Call on Thursday, the 31st of July, 2014 at 1800 UTC. On the call today, we have Tijani Benjema, Olivia Crepin-LeBlanc, Holly Raich, Devanon Tiluxing, Evan Lebowitz. I do apologize. Devanon Tiluxing will be joining late. He does plan on joining later today. Liaisons, we have Maureen Hilliard, Alan Greenberg, Julie Hammer. We have apologies from Murray McKercher. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Kathy Schnitt, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Terry. And have we missed anybody who is on the call and whose name has not been mentioned? It doesn't look like it. Okay, let's get going then immediately. Welcome everybody to this call, and we've got a pretty full agenda. We'll try and do it quite efficiently. And so we'll start immediately with the review of the action items from the ATLAS 2, the ALC meeting of the 17th of July, and the ALAC meeting of the 22nd of July, 2014. Just before we jump to this page, I'm on a phone which automatically cuts me off after an hour. You will get a warning. I don't get a warning. So if you do hear, you will be disconnected in 1 minute or 60 seconds. I can't remember what the message is. Then please let me know, and I'll swap over to my computer for the time that that I can call me back. So ATLAS 2 action items. We're going to go through them just to see where we are. The first meeting on the Monday, the 23rd of June, was the first one was ATLAS staff to follow up with ICANN security staff on the possibility of preparing a beginner's guide on domain name security. That's actually now a thing that it's in process, and ICANN security staff have come back and are currently looking at being able to draft it. The SAC is to be given more than 30 minutes at the next ICANN meeting. I think we should just tick this box and say that this is taken into account and just put it in the organizing part of our LA meeting. Discussion with the communications team, staff to ensure that Chris Gibbs has all the previous at-large community survey work on the at-large website needs we've seen last time that this was done. Moving further down, ALAC work part one, hot topic number two, ICANN accountability and globalization. All of the action items here are done. I'll just quickly read through them, and I'll ask if there are any comments to that. I've got a small update on this, but then I think that we've got something on ICANN accountability, do we? No, we don't. Okay, we'll be able to touch on that then during that action item. So Holly Raich, Alan Greenberg, and Chester Soong, and the ATLAS 2 thematic group 4 are to draft an ALAC statement on enhancing ICANN accountability public comment. At-large staff to work with GSE staff to ensure collaboration and information exchange on at-large and GSE activities. That's also ongoing or done. The GSE team with web admin staff to look into a page that seems to have a redirect loop and can't resolve. That was actually a page that was from the previous website, so that's done as well. To make a request to the relevant GSE staff that the next-gen program should be expanded to other regions. That's also we had an explanation of this during the last call, and asking that the speaker bureau list of potential speakers be expanded to include a database of well-known and vetted community experts that would be able to address communities in their local language or local cultures or by topic, rather than having it restricted currently to only staff and board speakers, and that was also dealt with in our last call. On the topic of ICANN accountability and globalization, you will have remembered in our last call and on the email list that there was a discussion as to what was going on, what was the current status of the ICANN accountability track. There was supposed to be a meeting in London and it didn't take place. And in fact, there has been a blog post from Teresa Swinehart on the ICANN blog, which I have forwarded to the, I'm not sure, I think it was to the ALT list. That blog post explains that the process is moving forward, that staff has been very busy with analyzing all the comments that have been received. At the same time, the SO, AT, and SG chairs are invited to be on a call on Monday, the 4th of August, where Fadi Shadi will explain what the next steps are and what plans are. There hasn't been any leak as to what the plans are, so I will be able to report back to you after the call and let you know what the next steps are at that point. Any questions or comments? Okay, let's go on ELAC work part two.
Sorry, Olivier, sorry, I had to take myself off mute. Sorry, Olivier, it's Evan.
Go ahead, Evan, you have the floor.
Sorry, I'm in transit. I won't be at Adobe Connect for a couple of minutes, but why is this something that we are waiting for staff to tell us what is going to be done? Why is this something that is being topped down? We have been waiting for staff to do something. There was supposed to be a high-level group assembled before London. Clearly, this is not an ICANN priority. Can the community not just do something with or without Fadi telling us what we're going to do? Thank you. I'm getting very irritated by this, by the way this is all being handled, and I really, really think that the accountability track is a total afterthought, and I'm really concerned at the treatment it's being given. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Evan. I can't answer you. I don't know if anybody else has a thought on this, but I think having discussed this with other people that are at the Meissen Summer School, so other people in ICANN, there's your frustration is shared, and that's why we're eagerly finding out, well, or hoping to find out what's going on Monday, and it's probably going to be quite an interesting call with the community probably expressing this and asking why it's taking so much time.
Actually, Olivier, my question wasn't simply rhetorical, because I would sort of like to put on the plate of the ALP the idea of coming up with some contingency of how ALAC, potentially in concert with other constituencies, is going to move forward with or without staff doing what needs to be done. So there's actually, I'm hoping, some kind of an action item that will come out of here of having a couple of people that will at least be concerning themselves with the way that this is panning out and potentially recommending to ALAC a course of action depending on what happens in your next call. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Evan. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Thank you. Although I share the frustration, I don't think we're in a position to do anything, quote, ourselves that will have the same level of authority, as it were, to make recommendations to ICANN. But that being said, I do not understand why we are not already putting a process in place so as soon as the announcement is made, we're off and running. We know we're going to be asked to name at least one person, either recommend or name at least one person to work on this group, possibly more. And I really would like to come out of this meeting knowing how we're going to do that so we don't have to start inventing something new after the announcement is made. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alan. And so we can probably discuss this right now. We've made a move to start inviting people from TG4 over to the Future Challengers Working Group. As I understand it, at the moment, the Future Challengers, the shepherding the work that we're going to do as far as the discussions on accountability are concerned within our community, but then with regards to selecting people to go on that working group, which ICANN is very likely to create, I totally agree with you, and certainly my suggestion was going to make use of the same selection committee as we did for the IANA topic, but if you have a different idea or if we should issue a call for call for a selection committee, a new selection committee, I'm open to it as well. And so now's the time for us to decide if we need to move quickly. Alan?
Yeah, I'm fine with nominally the same group being formed. You do want to make sure that you're not included, that there aren't people in that group who may want to apply. So you have to do the same level of, making sure you're not having applicants in the group to the extent that that's appropriate. But other than that, I don't much care. That group wasn't a balanced one, and you may want to consider whether it should have been, but because I think you just took anyone who basically put their hand up. I don't much care either way. In the past, we've agonized over the fact that we have to have exactly the same number of people from each region. I'm not particularly upset either way.
Okay, thanks very much, Alan. Any other thoughts on this? With regards to the group that did the selection for the IANA, I think the group worked well, apart from a couple of people, and what I would probably do is to contact the RALOs concerned and ask them for a replacement person because their region was underrepresented. So that might probably be the easiest way, and then to ask the members of the selection committee whether, if they want to apply for the position, then they have to resign from the group. So perhaps first step, send an email to the selection committee, ask them if they want to apply for the for this new group, then they're going to have to resign the selection committee. And then second step, once we know what positions we need to fill, selection committee, then we'll fill those positions. That can be done within a week, and so we can be operational by the end of the week, of next week. Alan Greenberg?
Yeah, thank you. Just for a point of view of confidentiality, I would ask all the people on the group, do they want to be on this second group, and let them say yes or no, reminding them that if they plan to apply, they cannot be on the group. But I don't think you want people to be declaring openly they're applying. So, I think just the wording should be different.
Okay, thanks. Noted. Heidi, well, we need to do an action item on this then, I think. I hear nobody saying this is the wrong way to do it, so I gather the first action item then is to email the members of the IANA selection committee. Letting them know that the selection committee will also be selecting members of the accountability working group that ICANN is bound to create.
If there are people you don't want on that group, you may want to finesse that before asking them if they want to be on it again.
That's a good point. Tijani.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I agree with the procedure. I think it is a good way, but I have a question. Does ICANN announce the creation of this group? Because we are trying to select people for a group which is not yet created, so we don't know how many people we need from ALAC to be on this group. So I don't know. I think the first thing is to know the nature of the group and the configuration of the group. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Tijani. It's Olivia speaking. What we are looking at here is to fill up our selection committee, regardless of how many members of at large will be in the actual accountability group. So I don't think it actually influences the nature of the selection committee itself. It's just that it's going to take us a week probably to refresh the selection committee. The other way would be to ask the RALOs to appoint people to this new selection committee, because we could have said that the previous selection committee is now dissolved. So the new selection committee, the RALOs could actually reappoint the same people if they wanted to, and I have provided feedback to the chairs of the different RALOs regarding the performance of their delegate in the selection committee. Tijani
speaking. No, Olivier, I prefer the first procedure, That means that we have to ask the members of the selection committee if they want to be on the new selection committee, and also doing this with the RALO leadership regarding the performance of those people during the first election. So rather than beginning something new, we can build on what we have, but with a small correction as well.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dijani. What I suggest then, we have the guideline on how to do it. We'll follow up by email. I'll follow up by email with the respective RALOs with regards to the performance of their members and let them know of the next steps for the selection committee. So Olivier to email members of the INF selection committee work selection committee working group, letting them know that the members will also select members of the likely ICANN accountability working group. Yeah, that's a good enough action item. Okay, let's move on and go to the next thing, ALAC work part two, proposal to make the academy working group. That's also the whole process is moving forward, and Sandra has given us an update during the last ALAC call. At-large capacity building working group, these are all working groups of the ALAC, of course. So the staff to collect the data regarding the pre-Atlas II capacity building webinars, and at-large staff to ask IT to check the number of downloads of the pre-Atlas II capacity building webinars. Of course, all of this is a follow-up to the Atlas II, and I'd also like to have all of this information prior to the Atlas II follow-up call that we're going to have, the Atlas II debrief call. Just speaking about the Atlas II debrief, this is currently awaiting further information from the ROI working group so that we can actually debrief on absolutely everything regarding Atlas II. I guess those matters are somehow related to each other. Kujani Benjamin and then Heidi. Tejani, I can't hear you at the moment.
Okay, do you hear me now? Do you hear me now?
Please, go ahead.
Olivier?
We can hear you. Go ahead, Tejani.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Tejani speaking. So I have already received the attendance of the webinars. So the first part was done by the staff. The second part is not yet done, and they are working with the IT people to see the download, to have the information about the download. So the work is partly done, but there is another part that has to be done. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tejani. And as soon as you receive that information, please let staff and me know about it, of course, and we've got another piece of the edifice ready for the follow-up Atlas II debrief. Heidi Orish.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. 2 points. Just on the first point, Tejani, I have seen emails between Gisela and IT staff working on that, so that is in progress, and you should have it shortly. It is a very complicated system to get the actual time marks into the proper format so where we will be able to tell the information. Coming back to the leadership training program, just to let you know that we have sent a note to Olivier, and he will be forwarding that. It's an invitation for 5 ALAC members, new and incoming leaders, for this program this year. Olivier is going to be forwarding it very shortly to the RALO officers, and if you would, we encourage you to select one person from each RALO, and the deadline for that is the 15th of August. And the location of that is going to be actually the ICANN offices in Los Angeles, and then they'll be transferred over to the venue here in Los Angeles in Century City. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you very much for this update, Heidi. So the second action item was incorporation of Atlas II thematic groups into existing at-large working groups. Sorry, the third action item for this ALAC work part two. Staff to send a reminder to all Atlas II thematic groups to join existing at-large working group. Atlas II participants to have discussion with the 2015 NOMCOM leadership. and for at-large standing groups based on the result of their analysis, message personalization needed for better results. For these three, it's firmly an action item on my desk, and I will be performing this early next week. We have a full table that was filled by all the thematic group chairs indicating what at-large standing working groups and task forces, etc., would be suitable for the participants. So I will be sending an invitation to each one of the thematic groups and letting them know that they are hereby invited to join the standing working groups. Okay, let's continue. And we are now on Wednesday, where we have several general assemblies that we're not going to go through. And we go directly to Thursday, the ALAC and Regional Leadership Wrap-Up Meeting, where staff is to incorporate the text from Thomas Lovenhaupt's submission to TG5 in our wiki page for at-large recommendations for the second round of new GCLD. The page has been created, and we're now starting to fill that page up. I wonder whether any of you were interested in actually also putting bullet points on that page in order to remind ourselves of the other issues that we have with the new GTLD process. And that basically just banks our ideas so we don't drop them or forget about them. But staff, if you have a link for that page, could you please put it in the chat? And then that will let everyone be able to put this in and bookmark this page. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Thank you. Just wanted to remind the group that the GNSO is starting a discussion group on a very similar topic and is looking actively looking for at-large participation in it.
Thank you very much, Alan. I haven't seen an invitation for this. Have we been sent an invitation for this?
I don't know. I'll have to double-check on that, maybe, unless someone on staff knows. It may not have come out yet. I thought it would have, but I'll double check and get back.
Okay. Thanks very much. I mean, if it hasn't come through, then please find out with GNSO leadership, and perhaps you can act and just relay this over to us.
I will look at my liaison report and see what it says.
Great. Friday, the 27th of June. An Atlas II organizing committee call is to be organized in order to hold a debrief, and that's firmly in hand at the moment. As I said earlier, we're delaying it until we have all information. Steve Villagruber to work with the Atlas II ROI working group in creating a survey on the Atlas II to get feedback from summit participants on the various Atlas II activities. I think that's pretty important. How is that coming along? I wonder if Gisela is on the call. She isn't.
This is Heidi, for the record. And Gisela is taking some 2 days of very well-earned, very much-earned time off. But I know that she and Cheryl have been in contact and that they are planning on moving forward with this pretty quickly.
Thank you. Next, ATLAS staff in consultation with the ALT and ATLAS 2 OC leaders to organize the debrief. That's in hand. Next ALT agenda to have an item on Atlas II feedback and debrief. Well, it's not on there yet because obviously we were waiting for the debrief. We did discuss this during the last ALT agenda. ALT to discuss the issue of an ALAC liaison to the GAC. We also touched on that during the last ALAC call. And staff to send a call for membership of the IDN working group. That isn't checked
yet. So if I may.
Problem with this. Go ahead, Heidi.
Yes, thank you, Olivia. This is Heidi. So I've been in contact with Sarmad Hussein, who's now working with the IDN variant program, upon a request by Olivier. And I do now have all of the information about the new scripts, and there are a lot of scripts. I've never even heard of many of them. So we'll get that moving. Just to confirm, Olivier, did you want us to also send the PowerPoint that they gave at the ALAC meeting or at the ALT meeting? And secondly, did you need a confirmation from Edmund, because I have not heard back from him yet, that this call is going to go out shortly?
Thanks very much, Heidi. It's Olivier speaking. And regarding your first question, I think the PowerPoint would indeed be great. It had a lot of information in there, and it will certainly refresh people's minds. Secondly, regarding Edmund, the IDN discussion, I think, was not during an IDN working group discussion. It took place during an ALAC, and so I think that the ALAC could therefore take the initiative and get things moving on this, even though the IDN is the IDN working group doesn't seem to be working currently on it. So I'd say just send it as long as we keep Edmund in the loop. But it's great to have heard from you that Sarmat has come back to you on that. Great. Sarmat Hossein. All right, next we go over to the 17th of July action items from our ALAC call. And we'll just look at the open action items in there. We go directly to Ariel Liang, working with Olivier and Dave on an overall workspace for at-large action items, still in progress. Staff to monitor the use of additional languages over the course of a few months. Any update on this, Heidi? Heidi, we can't hear you.
Sorry. My internet is supposed to be faster, actually, but it's slower, so I'm...
That's often the case.
Okay. Yeah.
Pay more?
Sorry. I know. Actually, we're paying less, but we're apparently getting less, too. So this is the newly assigned... Oh, this is the open access. Sorry.
Open
I'll follow up with them. I'll
the use
yes.
of additional
yes.
languages. Let me just answer this, then. So the additional languages, obviously, are Russian and Chinese. We had the last ALAC call, which had Russian, and I'm not sure whether that was particularly used, but at least it's now being offered, and the next ALAC call will have Chinese offered as well, in addition to Russian.
Yes,
as far as the LACRALO calls, haven't seen any movement on that yet.
Yes, actually, movement is being made internally, so APRALO is going to have Chinese, and LACRALO will include Portuguese very shortly.
Fantastic. Super. Thanks very much, Heidi. Mm-hmm. Next, once a standard ALSD certification motion text is received from Ellen, staff to launch the process of ALSD certification and finish the process before London. That, of course, is a loose string that we still need to tie. I think we can actually take this open action item as something that's done and perhaps open a new one and go to Neuralo and ask about, is it two or three potential ALS for decertification where the information is incomplete? Let me repeat the action item. Staff to contact Neuralo and ask them to complete their ALS decertification process by furnishing missing information. And the action item that's currently on the page should be ticked as done. Next, staff to set up the next CROP call and send a note to the RALO chairs and secretariats to confirm the CROP members' membership. Any update on this? We cannot hear you, Heidi.
I will. Dev is late, so I will need to follow up on this. I am not following this one, so I'll make a note to follow up with Dev and Gisela on this one.
Thanks, Heidi. Next is the newly assigned action items with Ariel and Gisela to follow up on the following two action items. The first one is the Atlas to Capacity Building webinars. And the second one is to ask IT to check the number of downloads. And we've spoken about this earlier, so we'll keep that unchecked. An at-large working group on accountability is to be discussed on the ALAC call of the 22nd of July with a proposal that includes TG4 and FTWG, the Future Challenges Working Group. That can actually be ticked as being done. And next, Olivier, to remove arrowheads regarding the drafters of the charter. That's the diagram which I put on the wiki, and I will do that. It's just a five-minute thing that has been very low on my priority list so far. Apologies for this. Then before the ALAC call, Dave and Antelix came to finish drafting the ALAC statements on the dozen or so names, two character domain names. There are quite a few others now that have submitted RCEP requests. I think this is still in process. We'll find out in a moment by looking at the wiki page and perhaps when Dave comes back to us. Then Olivier is to send the finalized Atlas II declaration to the board and chairs of SOAC, highlighting the points that may be relevant to other communities. That's also something I plan to do next week. Tejani Benjema is to speak to Roberto Gaetano regarding the following action item, board member selection evaluation update and next steps. If Tejani manages to get updates, he then needs to inform at-large staff to add this item to the ALAC call agenda. Tejani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is done. I have already spoken to Roberto Gaetano, and they agreed that we have a call next week. So I told the staff to initiate a dodo for a call next week, and I am still waiting for it.
Thank you very much, Tejani. Heidi, has a call next week been set up for this working group?
I am not aware of that. I will follow up with the Secretariat on that.
Thank you very much. I've got Alan and Evan. Evan and Alan, sorry. So Evan Ibovich first, and then Alan Greenberg. Evan, you have the floor.
Whatever. It's the two Canadians. They're interchangeable. That's okay. Sorry. I just wanted to call attention to something that I had put into the chat room. And so this particular topic seems to be me. Actually, the timing of it was very good considering when I type in what I did. Given the process that we went through of just having selected somebody for the IANA group, and given the fact we're going to be called upon to appoint one or more people for the accountability group, and given the fact that we've already gone through a long and fairly arduous process to pick the slate for the board 15 people, perhaps at large should consider having its own standing committee of a group that would be involved specifically to appoint individuals in any case where ALAC is being called upon to present a representative in a formal manner. This could conceivably come up again if we're being asked to send a liaison to the GAC. So this kind of thing is going to crop up from time to time. And so I'm wondering, rather than constantly reinventing the wheel, reinventing a process and then tearing it down, reinventing a process and tearing it down, we went through a lot of agony to create the process, to create the Board 15 seat slate selection committee, and Tejani and Roberto are going to have this conversation on how well that worked and what lessons are to be learned. The same process that was used to do that could also be used to pick the IANA person, to pick the accountability person, to pick the people that we're going to be asked to supply on the GTLD review panel when it comes up shortly, the board liaison, the GAC liaison, and so on. So I'm simply suggesting, as a matter of combination of efficiency and relevance, is the idea of perhaps creating a standing committee that is permanently a part of ALAC, that is populated at the same when the ALAC turns over, meaning in our case it will happen in LA, that we populate this group and it sits for the year being called upon to help appoint people to various positions and then disbanding itself until the call comes in again. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Evan. We have Alan and Tejani. Alan, were you going to respond to this specifically?
Well, I wasn't going to, but now that it's there, I will.
If you could just stick to responding to this, and then I'll get back to you afterwards on the topic that you
All right, I
to
certainly
raise,
will. The rules and the rules of procedure on picking people were deliberately quite vague. And it is completely within the auspices and authority of the chair to do something like what Evan just suggested for picking people for various roles. I would not want to see it mandated that it be used for every role, because I think there are times when hand-picking is a far better way, depending on what the specifics are. And I certainly would not want to use the board selection process, which is about as convoluted and cumbersome as one could imagine, for picking roles of need I say, lesser importance. Thank you.
Thanks for this, Alan. Tijani, were you going to comment on Evan's suggestion?
Exactly. Yes, I will. I do agree with Alan, and I think that the board selection committee is, we can say that it is a standing committee. It is a standing committee, but we need to appoint the how to say, the people in this committee for each election. That's all. But all the rules are set, and we have to improve it. And we want to do it. That's why we call for this for the call next week. And but I don't think that the other selections has to be has to have the same restrictions, the same rules as the rules of the board selection committee. Because sometimes I think it's very very heavy to follow those rules. And perhaps it will not be very efficient to do so. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani. I note from Julie, having put in the chat, would the members of this committee need to be excluded from nomination to any of these other groups and committees? Mm-hmm. That's a very fair question. And I see an answer from Evan, probably. This is not something we're going to resolve today. It's an interesting suggestion. Does anyone actually object to having a standing selection committee created, irrespective of what process that committee would be using? Any objections from anyone?
It's Alan. It would depend on what you say its role is. If you say its role is to make every selection the ALAC makes, I would object. If you say it's
me too,
which can mean both the chair when it's appropriate or the chair in a consultation with the ALAC, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivia speaking. I was going to suggest that the chair could call upon that selection committee when needed, or when the chair decides that it is needed. Or we could even say the ALT could call on that, or the ALAC could call on that selection committee if people are nervous about the chair taking such decisions. Evan Leibovich.
Thanks, Olivier. I'll just answer briefly. Number one, this is simply the idea right now. I understand, obviously, that picking a liaison to a small community group does not have the same gravitas as picking a slate for the board. My goal here is simply not to have keeping to go back to the RALOs every time, saying we need you to appoint people, to bring back new people, to go through the process. The idea of having similar people, perhaps with fallbacks in case there are people that need to step back because they want the positions themselves. Obviously, this needs a little bit of thinking through. I'm just trying to bounce around the idea of having a standing group that would have the concept of a lightweight process and a more in-depth process depending on the severity of the or the importance of the position being selected, that nominally my original idea is that the chair could call upon it when necessary, and if the ALAC as a whole believed that a particular appointment was of sufficient gravitas, that they wanted a better process than just having a single person appointment, then the ALAC could request it. But normally that would be the role of the chair. Anyway, that was my idea. Obviously, this needs to be fleshed out a bit. I'm just, as I'm hearing, the fact that, Tijani and Roberto, you're going to be going through a review of the process, something that has been, this is the second go-around of this selection committee process. It's been very heavily thought out. It's a very heavy process. As you say, it doesn't need to be used for all instances. I'm just suggesting the idea of, rather than totally reconstituting it every 3 years, that we have a standing committee that's permanently in place that's also used for, shall we say, lesser appointments using different criteria, or not criteria, anyway. Like I say, it needs more thinking out. I just am bouncing off the idea of a standing committee. The details yet to follow. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Evan. It's Olivier speaking, and I'd like to move on and not spend too much time on this. As you say, it's not fully fleshed out yet. What I would ask is that you email the ALAC with such a suggestion, and we can start the discussion on the mailing list, and certainly we'll be able to hear the pros and cons. I certainly have also my own views on this, and do understand that we will need to separate the selection process for a board director with the selection process for someone that we send on the working group. It just doesn't make sense for the heaviness of this process, and I think we will we all understand that. So if you could please flesh this out a little bit and put it on the ALAC mailing list, we can follow up and perhaps discuss it on the next ALAC call if the discussion has reached far enough.
Okay.
Thanks. So now I have Alan and Tejani. I know, Alan, I will come back to you. I think Tejani might have wanted to just close off on this topic. Tejani?
Exactly, Olivier. I'd like only to ask a question to Evan. Do you mean that we need to appoint people for a standing committee for selection that are always the same people to do so? Because you said rather than doing it each 3 years, but each 3 years we need to appoint new people. I think this is the best way. We don't have to stay with the same people. Thank you.
What I'll ask, Evan, if you could flesh out the idea and take into account Tejani's comment here so as to focus it and make it understandable.
Yeah. You're right. That's a detail that I need to take forward.
Super. Thanks. Back to you, Alan Greenberg, hopefully on another topic.
I'll just add one sentence, but I think it goes along with what we were saying. I would strongly suggest that we not conflate, I think that's the right word, the issue of the board selection and other selections. And don't try to merge the two together. I think that's just going to end up causing more problems than it's worth. Okay, my hand was originally up on Tejani's review of the board selection process. He has asked Cheryl and I, and we are starting to work on something. I hope we'll be ready by early next week, but I'm not 100% sure. The main focus will be on essentially the implementation of things done for the first time this year. This is the first time we had more than three candidates, and therefore a whole set of rules kicked in for the first time. And hindsight tells us the rules were not specified with enough clarity. So the main focus, although there may be a few other things, the main focus will be on the issues where this year's BMSTC had to interpret rules which were never used before. And there were a number of lessons learned from it. So that would be the main focus from Cheryl and I, based on the original drafting work that was done, 5 years ago. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Alan, for this. And we'll move on with the last one of those action items regarding the agenda item on the Speakers Bureau. Should the ALAC ask that a Speakers Bureau list of potential speakers be expanded to include a database of well-known and vetted community experts? Staff was going to get in touch with the Speakers Bureau to get details of who is included in that as far as speakers. Heidi, do you have an update, please?
Yes, this is Heidi. I contacted Violet, who is working on the Speakers Bureau. She responded that they would need to look into that, particularly the process on how they would vet the community members. So the process now is with her, with Jim Trengrove, and Janet Dumerlang. So I will keep following up on them on that, with that action item.
Thanks very much, Heidi. And without any further delay, let's go to the third set of action items. And hopefully we're going to be able to make these shorter, because I realize we're 49 minutes in the call. We're still going through our action items. The third one is open action items. Natalie Peregrine to post the online ALS application info on a wiki page viewable to the public and to publicize the wiki space. That is still unchecked, Heidi. What is at this status?
Yes, this is Heidi. We are still in communication with legal, and we are very, very close to getting that resolved. So I really expect this to be up in the next week or so. It has, I admit it has been a very long process, but I'm sure you it is nearly finished.
Well, thank you very much, Heidi. I must put to the record that I hope I'll be absolutely awed by this online ALS application, because I can't think of any process that's been slower than this. Actually, I can, but
it's
incredibly slow. Ariel Liang to work with David Antonik Singh and Olivier on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large AIs has been equally as slow, and I guess I'm to blame for this as well. Sam to monitor the use of additional languages, Olivier to take up the issue of volunteer recognition in consideration with other SO and AP chairs as an ICANN-wide issue. In fact, I have actually discussed this with other SO and AP chairs, and I've also discussed it with some SG chairs, and there definitely is some kind of some problem at the moment, and we might wish to work towards either some kind of statement or something, but I think it's not so high on the priority list this week, so I would suggest we move this another couple of weeks down the line and then get a better view of how things are going. But certainly the issue of volunteer recognition or consideration is one that is not only an at-large issue. Staff to perform the initial analysis of the PAB, the public comment contributions, and the new GTLD working group to take up the follow-up work on this. And staff is to send an email to Evan Leibovich to remind him about this. Well, the first email that needs to be sent is to staff. And in fact, I have one minute remaining, so I'll be dropped off in a second. But if you could answer the PAB public forum analysis,
This is
Heidi, and I'll redial whilst you explain this.
Okay,
thank you,
Olivier. Yeah. So, again, this is being worked on, and I hope to have that completed by tomorrow or early next week at the latest, and then we can go ahead and move to a call. Evan, if you would like to do that.
I'm happy to do that. I was practically ready to move on with or without it, but this would be very helpful.
No, I definitely am post-Atlas action to get to. So it's being worked on, and it will be done very shortly.
Okay, thanks.
I
can go, Heidi, let me go offline with you. If you want to start scheduling a call on the knowledge of when this is going to be out, we can work on it. We can work on it offline.
Okay.
All righty.
I will make an excellent note of that. Olivia, are you back?
And I am back, yes. Such great coordination. It's Olivia speaking.
Yeah, so do you want to just move on while I'm speaking to the next one is the newly assigned action items? And I've just updated you on that one. That's about the Speakers Bureau.
Okay.
So actually that one can be completed because I have followed up. So I will check that one.
All right.
And then
the box.
Yeah, and then if just moving down, staff to investigate with web admin if and when we can move the Atlas 2 website off Eduardo's server. Ariel's working on that, and she'll be back from China next week, and we can hopefully move that forward pretty quickly.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully that doesn't take a couple of years. And next, each one of the Atlas 2 working group chairs to provide Atlas 2 OC chairs with a specific piece of reporting, which should be 300 to 500 words, summary with a focus on metrics, measures, attendance, and engagement counts, reportable outcomes, etc. Has this been done? I saw the email go out. I haven't seen many answers to this so far. Heidi?
Heidi, I have not seen anything come in.
Could I ask that you send us a reminder, please? That would be helpful. I know that many people are on holidays, so that would make it function a little bit slowly, but we certainly need this as well if we're going to go for the debrief. That would be very helpful information for the debrief.
Yes, just on that. And if I could just note that also Susie has prepared a document of all the recommendations and observations that is similar to the ALAC improvements list. So she will get that to you for review, and then we can use that during that single issue call as well. It lists each item, the status, who it's assigned to, et cetera.
Great. Thanks very much, Heidi. Next, we have a consensus call. That's interesting. Discussion on ICANN accountability to take place within the Future Challenges Working Group, passed with no objections. Well, that's an interesting action item. Is that just a follow-up, then? We have to go on with Future Challenges Working Group, etc. But that's already been done, I guess. Ariel Liang and Natalie Peregrine to follow up on the pending ELS's decertifications. I understand that hasn't taken place yet. Heidi, to make sure the to add Atlas to ROI follow-up work into the ALAC monthly call standing action item. That's going to be for the next ALAC call. Tijani, to organize a meeting of the capacity building working group during the second half of August. Tijani, you have the floor.
Olivier, yes. It is already initiated, and the staff will initiate a doodle for a call for the second half of August.
Thanks for the update, Tijani. And then finally, Sandra Hoferister and staff to work together to explain the different status of the Academy Working Group and make a proposal for the next ALAC call. There's still plenty of time for this. Any comments on any of those action items? And if there are none, I see Heidi has raised her hand. So Heidi, you have the floor.
Just a clarification. Thank you, Olivia. This is Heidi. What on that last action item, what is she supposed to explain on that? Is that the Academy versus the Expanded Academy?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. I think I'll expand on that action item and forward that to her. Thank you.
Academy, Expanded Academy, and whether, and then I think we need to have another call for members because some people have moved on.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, Heidi. Let's go back to our main agenda. Yippee, we finished the action items finally after nearly an hour of call. We're now in the items for discussion. I'm not going through the recently adopted ALAC statements, except if anybody really insists on discussing any of the statements which we have filed. I noticed that there were five of them, which is great. Heidi, your hand is still up. And your hand is now down. Statements or endorsement currently being developed. Introduction of two character domain names, and you'll see that there is one, there's one, two, three, now there are three requests for a whole huge number of domain names, including some that are in IBM. I think they are in Chinese. Dave is dealing with this, and he is not on the call as far as I understand. So I suggest that we punt this till later in case Dave comes back. I certainly haven't seen the statement on the page yet, although I think there was supposed to be a statement on there. So this for the time being, is... there is a statement there. No, there isn't. Well, there could be, but it's not actually there as first draft submitted. So let's just leave it at that and wait until Dave comes back. The last one here is Registry Services Technical Evaluation Panel, the RSTEP report on public interest registry requests to implement technical bundling in .ngo and .ong. Alan, is there any answer from you about this? I see you put your hand up. Alan Greenberg.
It's the same answer as it was last time. You might remember that the original RCEP was made in June, I believe. There was some concern expressed at that time that it might involve or create some sort of instability or other problems with the DNS. The RSTEP group was convened, that is the technical evaluation panel was convened. In preparation for that, a comment was put out, which we already decided we didn't want to comment on. the RSTEP has issued their report saying they do not believe there will be any instability or other issues related to security issues introduced, and therefore we are now going out for another public comment on the actual RCEP as opposed to the technical concept of the RCEP. I still think we don't have any comment to make. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Alan. I was going to ask us for an issue of stability and security for Julie Hammer to let us know whether the FSAC had been looking at this as well or whether there was no comment from the FSAC. Julie, are you able to speak?
Yes, good morning. I don't believe there's any comment on this from the FSAC, Olivier.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not aware that they're looking at this specifically.
You're not. Okay, thank you. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, I should give a little bit of history on this. There has been a lot of discussion over the process of GTLDs on whether it is possible to have two TLDs which are in lockstep with each other, because officially the DNS does not support this. So every time the issue has been raised, and this has to do, you know, with words mean the same thing or words in two different languages. You know, there's been a whole number of examples over the last 5 or 6 years where people have said it would be desirable to have multiple TLDs that are in lockstep. It's always been cited as the DNS can't do it. There's a stability issue. There's a security issue. It's a horrible thing. The world will collapse if we do it. PIR has now said we want to do it with the English and French versions of NGO, and it's given a plan on how to do it. So it's been vetted six ways to Sunday, but it would appear that given the will to do this, it doesn't appear there's any real problem. Thank you. It does bring into question the stonewalling,
yeah,
the effect of stonewalling that's gone on for 5 years when other people wanted to see this introduced, but we'll ignore that for the moment.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. So what I was going to suggest is, for the time being, we'll leave it as such because the commenting closing time is the initial comment closing time is the 5th of August. We might wish, depending on what the comments are, as submitted by other participants, we might wish to lean in one direction or another. It really depends. We have seen in the past some participants argue that dotless domains were not dangerous and that name collisions were was a non-issue. So we might wish to keep an eye over this one and perhaps
I'll post a list of people who are on the RSTEP, which may influence your thinking. But in any case, yes, it is open for a while. There is an opportunity. There were no comments filed on the first round.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Alan. Let's move on, as we do. Currently open public comments where there's no statement at the moment. We did not comment on .paris. We did not comment on the bundling, as you mentioned just now, and we did not comment on .web. I don't see anyone put their hand to want to comment on these, so let's move to the next one on our agenda, and that's item number 4, review of the ALAC monthly conference call. I invite you to have a look at the meeting agenda and ask you whether there is any comment on the post-ATLAS 2 debrief, sorry, on the establishment of an at-large working group in accountability. I think we've touched on it. Is there anything else that we need to discuss on this, or are we okay? We all set? There was a question whether there should be a subgroup within the Future Challenges Working Group, and it is not my understanding that there should be a subgroup because it just makes it ever more complicated. Since if somebody is a member of the subgroup, is one then a member of the Future Challengers Working Group? It just doesn't make sense to have subgroups within groups, and I don't think we've ever had subgroups within groups, except in the ATLAS 2 activities, but that was actually a set of working groups without subgroups being used.
Evan Leibovich, and then to Johnny Benjamin. Evan, you have the floor.
Hi, Olivier. I just wanted to reiterate, I agree with your perception of things. It wasn't my intention or understanding that there was going to be a subgroup, that this was going to be one of the things, if for, perhaps for a while, the predominant thing on the plate of the Future Challenges group. At this point, I just want to get instructions from the ALT as how to go forward as one of the co-chairs of the working group. So it's my understanding that there is going to be a message sent out to the people of the appropriate thematic groups that were in Atlas to invite them to join the Future Challenges. If you want my involvement in a welcome message or anything like that, I'm happy to do that. So essentially, I guess I'm looking for a little bit of direction of how you would like me to proceed. It's my understanding we're going to get a lot more people. And so, I mean, we can start the ball rolling on a general conversation about accountability, but are there some specific goals and deliverables in the short term that you would like me to propose to the committee? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. I'll let Tejani speak and then respond. Tejani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. Tejani speaking. I don't think that we need to form subgroups, as you said, but as I said before, I think that I am okay that the Future Challenge take this this task, but it must be the higher priority task, and the Future Challenges Working Group shouldn't address any other topic during this period until the accountability task is finished. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tejani. I'm not sure whether that can be promised or done because the accountability track might actually last a year. So does that mean the Future Challenges Working Group will work exclusively on the accountability track? I don't know. Evan?
Okay. Tejani, as co-chair, you have my assurance that it will be top of list for at least the short term and at least until there's an ICANN-wide accountability group. On an ongoing basis, we will maintain not only our liaison with that group, but also hope to foment ALAC positions on accountability within Future Challenges. Can I commit that that will be the only thing that we will do until the accountability group is disbanded, as Olivier says? That may be a bit much. Hopefully, especially with all the new people coming in from the new thematic groups, we're going to have enough people within the Future Challenges group so that we've got enough people to go around with dealing with perhaps more than one thing at once. Having said that, like I mentioned to Jenny, I'm quite sure that this thing is going to have our undivided attention at least until the dust settles from the high-level accountability working group. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this, Evan. And I also remind everyone that should there be several tasks and tracks, it is also possible at some point further down the line, if there is a need for it, for the group to be split effectively. We've done grouping of groups together, but we've also split work in the past. And so if the Future Challenges Working Group has something else landing on its plate that require a lot of work for it, we might just create an additional mailing list and just create at that point a dedicated accountability working group. But our first choice was to put it with a Future Challenges working group until we see what the workload is. In response to your question, Evan, what should be the first tasks of that accountability track? I think we have to wait until Monday. I'm pretty much unable. I have no idea, frankly. What we're going to see on Monday is likely to set the scene as to what ICANN is planning regarding this. There is no cross-community working group on accountability that is currently planned between the different SOs and ACs. During the last SO, AC, and SG chairs call, Bobby Shahade, the ICANN CEO, had misunderstood a briefing of some sort that was given to him and asked why the SOs and ATs and SGs were creating a new cross-committee working group on accountability when one was coming from ICANN and it was just going to do double duty. The response was that the community was creating a cross-community working group on the IANA issues, not on the accountability track. Now, question is, the IANA issues are likely to be linked somehow to the accountability track. Until we know what the proposal is from ICANN staff on the accountability track, the CCWG on the IANA track doesn't quite know what to do. I know that there has been a call this week with our members. I'm aware that, I don't know whether Tijani was on that call, but I know that Leon Sanchez was on the call. The CCWG on the IANA track is still drafting the charter, and it's advancing at a good pace. Tijani, were you able to make it as well? I think we've lost Tijani. Yes, we have lost Tijani. Okay. So let's then move on.
Olivier?
So we know...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Tijani, you
can. Okay,
sorry.
Okay.
Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. I wasn't able to attend this call, but I sent my contribution by email. I received a lot of support to my proposal. So I don't know what is the output of the call since I didn't listen to the MP3 yet. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani. And I must say, although this cross-community working group on the IANA issue was led as the principal invitees by the CCNSO and the GNSO. I've had very good feedback on the performance of our members on the drafting team. So it's a good case of collaboration. And of course, we look forward to having that charter done. And I think that as soon as we receive the charter in final form, we have to put it on the ALAC agenda, ALAC call agenda, and we'll have to pass it just to get this thing moving. Yes, AP. Let's move on ourselves, and let's go through the ALAC call one more time. So we had the, if I can find the ALAC call, here we go. So after that, we had the IANA Stewardship Transition Update. I think we've talked on that now. The At-Large Working Group Update, the Academy Working Group. Are there any follow-ups or questions on that? Don't see anyone. Okay. I've spoken to Sandra just a few minutes ago, actually, with regards to the people that will be coming to Los Angeles. And I have also asked her for a status on all of the rest of the ICANN Academy threads, such as the online learning program. I have been told that the feedback from our participants on the version 1 of the online learning program were forwarded a few weeks after Buenos Aires to Nora. And I will be following up with Nora now and asking if the version 2 of the online learning program has taken into account the feedback that was given. I'm a little concerned since we haven't had any feedback so far on the progress of the online learning program website, whether this has been improved. And I would be quite upset, let's call it like that, if nothing had been done, since it had been a year since the first version of the leadership training program. But hopefully we'll get some good feedback on this. Let's move on. Next we have the BMSPC update on the board director selection next steps that we just spoke about. ALAC liaison to the GAC, that was also something that doesn't need any further discussion. I don't see any of you raise your hand on the review of the ALAC call. So I'll go once, twice. Oh, Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to go closure on the item on the GNSO discussion group on new GTLD second round. I forwarded the message to the ALT, and I put a link in the chat. My understanding was the liaison distribution list that the GAC, that the GNSO secretariat sends out, goes to our staff. Is that not correct?
Heidi, would you be able to answer this?
Hi, this is Heidi. Sorry, Alan. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, there's a mailing list that has the title Liaison 6C. My understanding is, I get it as the GNSO liaison, my understanding is it also goes to staff, because it's where they make a lot of money. Do you not get that?
No, I've never heard. Can you say that one again? I've never heard of it.
Liaison 6C.
In any case,
I...
No.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
I re-forwarded to the ALT the announcement, if you could forward it to our various groups. But you may want to talk to someone on the GNSO secretariat and verify that you do, that ALAC staff, at large staff, get the announcements for calls and stuff like that. You've gotten them in the past, so I assume you get them from somewhere, but you may want to verify.
Okay, and just this is Heidi again. Whom should I forward this mail to? You said various groups. Which groups?
At large, ALAC announced. I don't know wherever you do calls for participation.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly the ALAC list, if nothing else. But I would think we want wider than that. There's just probably a few people who are interested in the second round.
Just a few. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much for this, Alan. So let's move on back to our main agenda, and let's have a look. We now are on agenda item number 5, the ICANN 51 hub. So we put 15 minutes on there, but I think we can probably do it faster than in 15 minutes. The next meeting of ICANN is in Los Angeles, and there are going to be hubs that will be implemented for people to be able to take part remotely. The suggestion was that some of our at-large structures would be able to implement hubs. Of course, it's a voluntary thing, and some might wish to volunteer and bring parts of their community to run a hub. I was going to ask Heidi for a little bit more information on this, because I'm afraid I'm quite dry on that.
Yes, this is Heidi. Olivia, you have the information in your chat, but I'm happy to explain a little bit about this, if you'd like.
Please, go ahead.
Would you like me to continue? Okay. So yes, you do. So this is Heidi. So Nick Tommaso asked whether the ALSs might be interested in being the hubs or applying to be hubs for LA, for ICANN 51. And Olivia and I responded that we thought that they would be very interested. What we'd like to find out is if you would be okay with us sending a note to the RALOs, either the RALO officers first, and then they can forward it on to their list, or just straight to the list. And this is some of the information that we can provide. So ICANN will fund up to $1,200 for IT, AV, food and beverage, and meeting room rental if they are selected. Best practices will be determined by IT, and I can follow up on what those best practices will be. There will be a video file on how these remote interactive hubs work, so they will understand how to do this, how to set this up. The ALSs will actually self-select using an online form. And again, it's up to you to determine the best candidates based on expected attendance, IT capability, time zone, geographic diversity, et cetera. Olivia, I think that's really all I have to offer at this point.
Thank you very much for this, Heidi. Are there any questions or comments on this? And I know that several of you are ALS representatives. Do you think this is something that might be interesting for your community? I think this is all a little bit fast. I see Dave and Anthony King has put his hand up. Dave, welcome. You have the floor.
Hi, this is David Antilak Singh. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. So a question, Heidi. Is there like an upper limit as to the number of hubs that could be operated by at large? Like, is it like being given to like different communities?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I can take that back to Nick.
Okay.
I'll definitely get back. So yeah, please ask any more questions. Upper limit.
Okay. Yeah, thanks very much for this question, Dave, and thanks for this, Heidi. I think what we should do, perhaps, and I haven't seen anybody either jump up and down or say, oh, no, we don't want that here. This might be something to share with the RALOs and find out, as far as the RALOs are concerned, that they what their feeling is with their region. We do have a little bit of work to the RALOs to do. Go ahead, Heidi.
Yeah, while my phone is unmuted, Sylvia has suggested the idea of preparing a wiki page for this, which I think is an excellent idea, which we can then send out with more general information to the RALOs. Would you like to go ahead and have that be an action item and staff can get going on that right away?
I see no objection to this, Heidi, so let's go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And Dev, I'll get back. I'll ask Nick that your question right away.
Hello, Heidi.
Thank you. And please note also, was that Sylvia?
Yes. I just wanted to say that I will take that action item. I will create a wiki page and provide all the information required and send it around so all the RALOs know the details.
Thank you very much for this, Sylvia. And please note also the note from Dave in the chat suggesting that this opportunity should be mentioned on the RALO calls.
Why? Dev, this is Heidi. You said the upper connection or just the general, the opportunity for hubs? I see the opportunity. Okay, I see that now. Thank you very much.
Okay. And Maureen Hilliard also mentions it would be a good follow-up to Atlas, too, to invite the ELSs to maintain their connection to the ICANN meeting. All right, let's move on. Thank you very much for this, Heidi. Let's go. Now that Dave is back on the call, Dave, we're going to jump back to policy development activities 3D. And the three statements that you are about to draft or that you have drafted on the introduction of two character domain names, is there any update on this, please?
Thanks. This is Dave Anand speaking. What I've decided to do is to consolidate, because all of these various requests are very similar, I think one statement should be issued regarding all three of them. I'm almost finished the draft of it. I just put a link to the Google Doc with this. I'm just trying to think of whether to strengthen the last paragraph on it. I'm hoping that I hope I've taken into account all the concerns and I'll post this to the wiki later today, right soon after this call when I get back to the office.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Dave. So now we've got the update on this. We look forward to that first draft, and of course, Ariel is not reachable by phone, but she is still working in the background by email, so she'll probably follow up with me on the timing issue, etc. Now, number six, proxy and privacy services accreditation issues. The PPSAI, CDP, Working Group's LA meeting. There is an invitation which I have received from the GNSO, which mentions that there will be a face-to-face meeting in LA for members of this working group, and that will take place one day before the ICANN meeting. But it only would include people who are already funded to go to LA. The current at-large members of this working group are Bob Bruin, Carlton Samuels, and Holly Reich. Of the three, I'm only aware of Holly currently being in the being funded to go to Los Angeles, and I wanted to follow up on this first to check with Holly whether she is available to come in a day earlier, and then I'll open the floor and I'll get Evan after that. Holly Reich first.
Yeah, I've already put my hand up to attend today, so I'll be there.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. So that's good. And then Evan Ibovich.
Thanks, Olivier. I don't know what the rest of this group's opinion is of this, but this is exactly the kind of different disenfranchisement that ALAC gets because our members are not financially incentivized to attend. Therefore, generally only those that are funded by ICANN can come. And so if we have a situation where they say, well, we want to have everyone face-to-face, but only if you're funded to come, this immediately, you know, knocks out two of our three participants in the group. Anyone else thinks this is fair, please raise your hand. Anyone else who thinks that this maintains the presence of at-large within the community to the numbers it needs to, let me know. I think this is, frankly, outrageous. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much for this comment. Evan? I really don't know what to say. It's just one of these things. I welcome the fact that they do have some face-to-face meetings, of course. One of the suggestions that was made in our declaration, in the Atlas II declaration, that we could make up some slots, some travel slots, for topic matter leaders, both for at-large working groups that would need to meet face-to-face on specific topics, or in cases such as what the one that we're faced with here, where a cross-community working group is given an extra day to meet face-to-face. And it's interesting because that looks like it's the first time this is taking place on a cross-community working group. Sorry, not on a GNSO working group. And obviously, if non-GNSO people are on the working group, they are not able to participate. Of course, there will be remote participation, but as we know, it's not the same thing. Alan Greenberg, you might have a solution or a suggestion.
I have several comments. First of all, with regarding Carlton, we may want to double check. I think the expert working group is still convening, and so he may be there because of that, but on the other hand, he may be busy that day because of that. So before we raise too much of a ruckus, we may want to find out if this applies to him or not. However, in terms of addressing the issue, the ATRT2 made a recommendation that specifically talks about this kind of thing, that is disadvantaging people in policy discussions because they don't have private funding. And the board has accepted in totality the ATRT2 recommendations. We, of course, have not seen any details yet, which one could ask a question, when are we going to see some details and plans? But I would say as chair, this is something you could raise.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Alan. So I take two things. First, I will raise, I will ask staff to find out from Carlton if he's able to go. This is an invitation for two people, by the way. So staff to check if Carlton is able to go, since he's one of the two.
But he may already be completely funded for that time or not available. So.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
Check regarding him. And then I could comment back over regarding the invitation and say that this is an unfair position, I guess, as such. Alan?
Yeah, I was going to say I can give you the specific chapter and verse from the ATRT2 recommendation if you wish.
That'd be great. If you can just drop that in my mailbox, then I will pick it up on Monday. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. And, when I meant the Friday, I think, before the ICANN meeting. I have to find the invitation. I thought I had forwarded it, but I just can't see it at the moment.
Olivier,
No. I'm sorry, Heidi, I couldn't hear you. There we go. I've got it.
Yeah, sorry. I will find that, and I will let you know in the chat when the details of that meeting.
It's Olivia speaking. It's an all-day meeting on Friday, the 10th of October in LA, just prior to the ICANN meeting. That's what it is. Okay. Now, let's go back and go to, yes, Heidi?
Sorry, just reading Glenn's note on this, and there will be full remote participation. So even if Bob, Brune, and Carlson will not be able to go, they can participate remotely.
Thank you, Heidi. I have said that. But yes, there will be, but it's not the same thing, as we know. Alan Greenberg, your hand is still up.
My hand is still up in error.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Agenda item number 7, update on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the INA function. There are, of course, several things going on. As you know, the coordination group has been meeting in London. There has been some discussion post-London. Jean-Jacques Sevrena and Mohamed El-Bashir have been following the discussion. There are also several other mailing lists that have sprung up in the other parts of the ICANN and non-ICANN world, should we perhaps say in the internet governance world. Now, that's rather interesting. We've got two working groups, basically, that are in place. The first one is a joint at-large and NCSG working group on NCIA topic coordination. And the second one is an at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the INA function. The ad hoc working group The ad hoc joint at-large and NCSG working group comprises a number of people on the group. There hasn't been very much happening. I have spoken to Avery about this, and she is on that working group, and there is still an interest in being able to coordinate things. I note that Avery Doria has been busy on many mailing lists, including the IETF mailing list and also the ISOC mailing list and ICANN's own INA transition mailing list, which everyone, by the way, is able to subscribe to. And the points that she has put across are actually very similar to the points that the at-large committee, would be pushing forward with. And certainly our own at-large working group on INA issues has been resonating the same views. So there is some coordination that might be fruitful and helpful for this. And what I suggest is we just let it go for another few weeks, and I'll try myself to kickstart a few more discussions on there. It's a small group at the moment. You're welcome if you wish to join the mailing list on there, although it's interesting. There's no mail list or ICAS, sorry. It's just an ad hoc thing. There is a Skype chat which I have created, hoping that there would be some discussion on there. So far, very little. But then out of the three members of the NCSG, only one person has been alive the past few weeks. Both Rafik Damak and Rudy Vansnik have not been with their Skype on. So that's one thing. The second group is our own working group on the transition of government stewardship of the INA function. I think it's worked pretty well so far. We have spent some time to respond to some of the issues that were brought up on the coordinating group. The first issue on the coordinating group was the issue of who was going to chair this. The coordinating group had decided on three co-chairs when they met in London. And then some discussion suddenly changed the group's view, and some pressed for one chair and one co-chair, and then we're in a bit of a question mark at the moment as to how this chairing is going to be orchestrated. And both Jean-Jacques Sebrenat and Mohamed El-Bashir have pushed for the three co-chairs position due to the fact that the working group itself, the coordinated group itself, is made up of 12 North Americans, including 11 from the same country,
And this is a group of 30 or 31 people, so that makes it nearly half of the group as being North American. And, of course, it's a group that is supposed to coordinate the work to divest U.S. government interests in the IANA functions. So the optics aren't great on this, and what the ALAC pushing is for at least the co-chairs to be regionally diverse. And this is an ongoing matter, so hopefully in a few days' time we will find out what will be the final solution be on this. I have spoken with some members of the coordinating group who are present here at the summer school in Meissen, and they've had various points of view. I have not managed to convince anyone so far, although a couple of people have said they totally understand the politics and optics of it, and they wouldn't object to the three co-chairs idea. Another person has told me that he thinks that it doesn't matter. It is quite incredible to hear people who think that this whole IANA stewardship transition is not a political matter and think that it's just one of these technical things that needs to be done to streamline things. I don't know where they get that information from. Kevin
Leibovich. Olivier, the more I listen to what's going on, not only through ICANN channels, but also, in fact, having listened to the session last week at during the IETF conference in Toronto, there are two components of this to me. One is technical and one is political. And the two continue to be conflated. The one thing that I find is, it's like everybody seems to have their own view of this. Is it purely political? Is it purely technical? I can't talk to five people and get less than three different views of what's going on in terms of whether or not this is a technical transition, a political transition, whether it's a transfer of a rubber stamp from the NTIA to some other body who would do a similar rubber stamp. I think part of the problem and part of why this continues to be such a mess is I don't know, nobody is even on the same page when it comes to knowing what's going on. Even the lingo, you know, when people talk about, you know, the IANA transfer, you know, as if IANA itself is moving. It's just, this is, I think there's a massive problem going on, even in knowing what's being talked about, even in knowing what's being done. It's unavoidable that some of this is technical. When I sat and listened to the discussion of this in the IETF group, it was not political at all. Basically, the consensus within the IETF group was, keep it as technical as possible. Don't make it political, because making it political is what threatens the technical stability of the system. So, and you've got literally a room full of people with very, very little dissent agreeing on that, and IETF is a big part of this. So there is a massive, massive disconnect between the various parties that have a stake in what's going that have a stake in what's happening, massive, massive disconnect between what everyone believes is actually happening. And when you don't agree on the problem, then coming up with a joint solution is even harder. The more time I spend in this, the more I think it's a massive mess that cannot end well unless something is done about these differences in expectations. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much for your comments, Evan. And, of course, you were privileged to be in the IETF meeting, and you saw this firsthand. And frankly, at the most, I think this is going to be a tough job for the coordinating group. No one ever said this was going to be easy. And we have to be very, very vigilant about this and be very reactive as well in our own working group to be able to feed our members of the coordinating group with the right information, perhaps even have more people in our own working group. I'm a little concerned not many people in at large are currently actively involved in this. The worst case scenario means that we might have to send people into the IETF working group and send people in the ISOP working group and send people into any of the RIR working groups that are dealing with this matter. That if there is a decision by the coordinating group to have the issues discussed in parallel in all of those various communities. Having wondered about this, because there's been a many have been saying, well, the functions themselves are run by the respective parties, directly affected parties. I had a read of the original 65 pages of the contract that IANA has with the U.S. government, and it is interesting that in one of the early paragraphs, it mentions that the directly affected parties are, of course, the RIRs, the IETF, etc., and not limited to those. And it also mentions the Internet users in there as well. So we are directly affected by this ultimately, because if the IANA function doesn't work well or is captured politically by anyone, even though this is a rubber stamping thing, a rubber stamp can sometimes not stamp. And for strange reasons, as we might have known, we have to be vigilant and be prepared for this. I frankly don't have an answer for you yet at the moment. And all of the people that I have spoken to here in Meissen, since this is a really, really hot topic, from registry to people in the NCSG to other people around and people who are on the coordinating group, there are several people here in Meissen who are on that CG. They are all still in waiting and thinking, well, we have to organize something, but we are still in very early days, and that's the problem. A little bit of chaos to start with, and hopefully things will sort themselves out shortly. But I realized, as you said, there are some deeply entrenched people there, and having seen some of these discussions with some people that I've had with some longtime IETFers, they have emailed me and said, well, ultimately, if we don't like it, we will just not have a contract with IANA and we'll take our business elsewhere, which is particularly interesting in that, yes, apparently, and I have checked that, they could actually not even have to deal with IANA with regards to the protocols, for example, to a database of the protocols or a database, and the RIRs could actually go elsewhere if they wanted to deal with the database of the IP addresses. It's just one of these interesting, very minefield-infested terrains. Alan Greenberg.
Pretty much any of the groups could go elsewhere should they choose to organize. That's the reality, and part of the problem with this, and as Evan described, is different people have different views of what it is we're discussing. If you take a simple view, last time NTIA went out for a contract for IANA, let's say it hadn't been awarded to ICANN but was awarded to someone else. Make it the ITU, make it some group operating out of Meissen. It doesn't matter. The whole operation would have disappeared in Los Angeles. The new group might have stolen some of the people, just because of their knowledge, but it would have been a completely different group. It's only IANA as we know it because of the heritage, the continuity from John Postel on down. So we're talking about potentially awarding the contract, whoever it is who's doing the awarding, to someone else, and at the same time we're talking about who's doing the awarding is potentially someone else. And then you get the third aspect of who's overseeing the process, that once it's actually operational. So it is a complex problem, and different people on the coordinating committee have very different views of how they want it to come out. I think we shouldn't just be sitting back. I think we should be coming up, a small rump group. I don't care how formally or informally it's done. I think we should be coming up with viable, what we think are viable alternatives, and to feed into it. They may not be the perfect ones, but let's start putting pen to paper. That's what I think we should be doing. We made a big fuss.
Thanks very much, Alan.
We made a big fuss about who we picked for this committee. It's not because this committee was just going to be doing administrative trivia, bookkeeping, to use the word that's being used for IANA now. This committee is going to have decisions to make. And why people are surprised at that, I don't know.
Yes, thanks very much for this, Alan. Just to let you know, on the homepage of our ad hoc working group, there is a list of resources at the bottom of the homepage, which includes various links, including one to the actual the guidelines, the ICANN website, and various other points. And I think that most of the members of the working group have had time to, of our working group, have had time to read through through those. Although it is pretty, I would say, pretty taxing for someone who starts from scratch. And strangely enough, now I'm also seeing discussions in the other mailing lists, and not our mailing lists, but the other mailing lists, that call into question the actual information. There's also a great deal of disinformation, some are saying that ICANN is trying to frame the issue in a specific way. The feeling is ICANN wishes to keep the INA function attached to ICANN, whilst others are saying they wish to break off the INA function from ICANN and introduce a clear separation of tasks. There is a second big question, looking way further than where the CG is so far. They haven't reached anywhere yet, but the second thought is whether there should be an oversight body created, a new oversight body created, to either do oversight of ICANN's part or oversight of the IANA part, whether IANA is attached or not attached to ICANN. But then again, at that point, others are saying, well, then you're creating a new ICANN, and you've got two ICANNs rather than one, which gives you double the headache. It's clearly still very far from any type of consensus. Evan Leibovich and then Tijani.
I have a question of both Alan and Olivia haven't commented, and also my own comment on what you just said now, Olivier. But so I'll give the comment first, and that is that I think some of the comments about ICANN having too deep its own fingers into things is not totally without justification. ICANN is clearly a self-interested party in this, and as such, is nowhere near as hands-off the process as it could be or should be. People have inadvertently said things in interviews and speeches where they've talked about, you know, this is ours, and there seems to be a feeling within ICANN that this is just a natural progression that should just, you know, just be totally without change or totally without an opportunity to do anything. But my question to both Alan and Olivier, given what you both said, is at least you have a sense when you're talking about the challenges of coming up with solutions. Do you have a sense that at least people are even on the same page with what the problem is that needs to be solved? That is, and it's not a rhetorical question, because one of the biggest problems I'm running into is that people can't even agree on the question, let alone the answer. And until we've got a grasp of exactly what is the problem we're trying to solve, is this a technical problem? Is this a political problem? Is it both that has some kind of tie-in together? Until that happens, are we really going to get anywhere within the coordinating body or elsewhere? Have they even really nailed down what the problem is that needs to be solved? Thanks.
Thank you very much for this, Evan. Now, I have in my possession a diagram that was done by VeriSign that shows the current process for a change of TLD details in the root, and that shows clearly where the U.S. government comes in and what it does. I will scan it the moment I get home, i.e. tomorrow night, and I will then email it over to our working group on IANA issues. With regard to your question, my sense from speaking with various parties and seeing what's happened on the email and on the various lists that treat the issue, and trust me, there are over 100 emails a day at the moment with people just infighting and things, my sense is that the only document which is the really important document in there is the actual request from the NTIA, the original release that the NTIA has put. The second one is the actual contract that the NTIA has with IANA. The rest of it is all open to interpretation. Any FAQ produced by ICANN is currently under question. Any FAQ produced by any other body is also under question, by different people, of course. So everyone is questioning everyone else. And there's definitely some growing sense of distrust, too, as well, on this, as several main players, and I'm not saying here on the coordinating group, the coordinating group is working very well, but several main players in their own communities have been playing very heavy-handed. My personal feeling about it at the moment. Tijani Benchema, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I do agree that it is a big mess. I do agree that people don't agree even on the problem. I also agree that a lot of people think it is a technical matter, not a political one. For example, in the cross-community working group, there is only GNSO, CCNSO, ELAC, and SSAC. That means that the other functions of the IANA will not be discussed in this group. The protocol function and the IP function will not be discussed in this cross-community working group. So. Even if I managed to change the scope of the cross community working group to be not exclusive to the naming function, in the other parts of the draft charter, you can still feel that it is only the naming function that will be addressed in this working group. So I made the remark, and I hope it will be corrected. But I am sure we need to go to the RIR groups and to the EUTF group and to be there to bring our point of view as end users in the discussion there, because we will not be able to give our point of view elsewhere. They are working alone, and they think that it is a technical issue that they have to address alone. So if we don't go with them, we will not be able to give any input. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I'm going to be dropped in a second, so please with me as I get a dial out again. We'll be very fast. But in the meantime, I totally agree with you on this, Tijani, so thank you for this. And on? I am back on. Okay. Hello?
We can hear you.
We hear you.
All right. Thanks. Sorry. Just in the middle of the sentence. Thanks for this, Tijani. I have also seen the huge push from many of the communities to separate the issues into the IETF on one side, the RIRs on the other, for the IP addresses, and for the ICANN cross-community working group to only deal with the names part of the issue. And I know that several members of the NCSG are thinking they should not be separated, but we are in front of some huge push at the moment. And what I was going to do was to try and obtain further information from Fiona Alexander, who is the person from NTIA that sent this whole request out, but Fiona is in Meissen, so I might be able to capture just after this call. I will try and obtain clarification, but I have the similar concerns of having to go into all of these groups separately, and anyway, we're still far from a solution. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. to be honest, I really have no problem with the ICANN cross-community working group not looking at addressing and things. I have a problem if they are not looking at the accountability aspects and the oversight aspects. But, you know, I don't really think there's an issue if you know, the protocol numbers are not being discussed within ICANN. I really don't see this problem. Those are going to be looked after well enough. To get back to Evan's original question, do people understand what the questions are? I don't think all the questions are understandable until we know what the answer is. You know, for instance, if we end up with the final solution being ICANN still has responsibility for the IANA function, and it is being carried out by the roughly the same group of people as it is right now in Los Angeles, then all this discussion of technical problems, I think, is rather moot. You know, it's working today. It's going to continue to be working tomorrow because it's being done by the same people and they know what they're doing, and the communication paths are all in place. If, on the other hand, the premise is not true and it's going to be done by someone else, then we might have huge technical problems. So, you know, part of the question, what is the question depends on what is the answer. And it's that circular part of the discussion that makes it so bloody confusing. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Alan. And if I could just comment on this, you're absolutely right on that. It's still a bit hard to get clarity, and I think everyone doesn't have clarity on this. On the accountability side, there have already been statements made by individuals on the IETF mailing list that the IETF process, which is effectively the protocols, does not need any external accountability mechanism because the IETF already has its own accountability mechanism. And when asked about the accountability mechanism, the response was that there is an appeals process that involves the ISOC board, where the board is the ISOC board is asked to produce to make a decision. I don't know how that is called accountability. It's not how I understand accountability being a case of a review process that usually is external to an organization. But this is the level of disconnect we currently have. So with regards to coming up with an accountability process for the IANA function, perhaps an external accountability process for all of the IANA functions or the functions that IANA performs. And I remind you all, this is just 12 people currently working to run this function. And one person from NTIA being in the office to rubber stamp things that are taking place. So it's effectively having that one person out and seeing who else should be in there. Or what else should take place to replace that one person not being in there. But the problem that one is faced with is definitely some much posturing going on from several people, and I expect that hopefully the coordinating group is going to start being able to make a bit of sense and slow things down. We'll just work out something. I just wanted to add that the fellows here in Meissen have been asked to take part in a program in some kind of an experiment. They were given all of the details possible about the IANA stewardship transition, and they were asked to try and find a solution. They were divided into a group of government folks and a group of non-government folks, and they have spent, I think, in 3 days a total, I would say, of 12 to 15 hours on the topic, and as we speak, they are finalizing their proposal and are presenting it to the rest of the group. So I'll find out in a few minutes after this call how they fared and what the final solution was according to them. I must say I was very impressed with the solutions I've seen so far, and it might well be that this is something that we would wish to study if we were to decide on proposing our own solution to the overall topic. Evan and then Alan.
Sorry, mine was accidental.
Okay, thanks. And I don't see anyone keeping their hand up. I must say I've spent the last week speaking for at least 6 hours about the INA topic with Avery, with Keith Drazig, with Bill Drake, with pretty much everyone who's here. And we've had an equally terrible headache as you probably are having now. I think the call has now been 2 hours long. I just note that Dave has found the location of the diagram which shows the function. Perhaps that would be a good picture to add to the wiki page that works with our working group and to publicize. So if I could ask staff to please publicize this diagram, and that would certainly help in their understanding as to where how the process works for changing a route zone allocation and where the INA stamping comes in. And that's, I think, all we can talk about regarding this topic. We've pretty much exhausted it. The next one is agenda item number 8, the update on the 2014 ILAC and at-large election selection and appointments. I'm going to ask staff, actually, to keep us up to date on this one, because I must admit, looking at the page, I think that most people are appointed so far. ILAC members selected by the RALOs. I don't even know if this has been updated. It doesn't look like it's been updated.
Sorry, Olivia, this is Heidi. I didn't catch the very last point that you said. It is being updated. It should be.
It is updated. Okay.
It should be. So just very quick, this is Heidi. So most of the RALOs have selected their incoming ALAC. Or those that have not only have one nominee, one candidate, and that's Tajani and F. Rallo. Except for Lack Rallo, they still have one person to select there. The other, the NOMCOM delegates, again, all RALOs have, except for one, Lack Rallo, have selected their candidate that they will send to ALAC for endorsement. And then Lack Rallo, we have a few candidates that are being selected, or that have been selected. And I think that is it, unless there are any questions.
Yes, thank you very much, Heidi. Of course, the selection of ALC members and ALAC liaison takes place later, so the current timeline is not on the page so far.
Correct, yeah. Just as a reminder that the ALAC will need to endorse, vote on the endorsement of all of those voting delegates to the NOMCOM by the 15th, so the vote will begin, it will be carried out online between 11th and the 15th of August, so that will be coming up shortly.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Heidi. Any questions or comments on this? I don't see anyone having put their hand up, so we are now in any other business, and I was going to just give you 1 minute more about the Meissen School. We've had a lot of different lectures here by a lot of different people. There certainly was a good introduction with Nigel Hickson and myself speaking about ICANN and all of the different component parts of ICANN, including at large. And we might actually have some new members, some ALSs, potentially some ALSs applying, or some people applying in individual capacity and joining our ranks. The fellows this year are extremely impressive. They range from people who are currently studying at university to others who are seasoned professionals, lawyers, engineers, etc. And it was certainly great amount of involvement from them. The whole program of the summer school, including the people who were here in the faculty body, is on the EuroSIG website. And I'm really thinking that this is something we need to also promote to get ICANN to do some kind of capacity building program, not only for the leadership, but also for, in addition to leadership training, but go actually deeper and start really looking at getting programs for our volunteers. And in fact, the volunteers in the GNSO as well, and volunteers that all do the heavy lifting in ICANN. But we're still very far from a plan for that. I've spoken to Sandra about it, and
so there's much to do. Helen Greenberg and Kigani Benjamaha.
Thank you. I understand that we have a number of people whose attendance at the Los Angeles meeting is unknown at this point. But for those who are known, do we know when the travel process will be starting? I sent a note out the other day saying that the U.S. State Department has been having some very significant technology problems with the visa issuing system. But even if that's resolved, and presumably it will be soon, the delay from some countries seems to be as long as a month and a half, maybe longer. Other countries in the same region in Africa, they turn around the same day. Some countries take 45 days or more. Do we know when the process will be starting?
Thanks very much, Alan. Heidi?
Thank you, Olivier. Alan, I don't have an exact day of when that will be started, and from the constituency travel side. However, the travel database for those slots that we do know has been sent about a week and a half ago now. So the first step should already have been taking place, and that's an internal step. And then the next step will be they will start contacting you. In terms of the visa issue, we're well aware and we're concerned, particularly for AFRALO members and new incoming members, possible new incoming members. So I've been in touch with Aziz that the two candidates for the secretariat position should already start requesting the letter from ICANN, et cetera, mm-hmm. just so that they will have their visas ready to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
I was quite amazed at the range from same-day turnaround to 45 days in neighboring countries, but it may well have to do with political situations.
Yeah.
Thanks for this update. We can't do anything about this, unfortunately. It's Olivia speaking.
We also have to be aware in launching
the process too early, since leadership training, the people that will be selected for leadership training will need to arrive earlier, so it would be
silly
to book a flight and then having to change the flight before that.
Again, this is Heidi, if I might just continue on. The deadline for the identification of those people for the leadership training is the 15th of August. So we're hoping that that deadline will be met, so the process of getting visas and everything else can start ASAP after that.
Good.
Thank you. But that also means that we've got another 15 days before the agency travel requests are sent out.
But it means we better not waste those 15 days.
Okay, next, Tijani Benjema, and I think we're reaching the end of our call soon. We are at the two-hour mark. Tijani?
Thank you, Olivier. You said that ICANN should have a capacity building not only for the leadership people. I want to remind you that the ICANN Academy started with the idea to have capacity building for all people, not only for the leadership people. This idea of leadership program came from the ICANN staff, and that's how we started working on this project, this subset of the ICANN Academy duty. So it is not the ICANN Academy strategy to make capacity building for the leadership only. It is the staff request that made us do it now.
Yes, thank you very much, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking. I don't recall it the same way. I think that originally there was an idea for capacity building, and then as a political way for a first step, it was agreed that we could start with leadership training. But you are very correct in saying that this was a start, and this is why I would certainly like now to see the next phase move forward, and we should push for the next phase. It has been 3 years since the beginning of the work, no, maybe 4 years since the beginning of the work. And since ICANN is in a new season and has changed leadership since that date, I would definitely expect that the response to this next step of ICANN Academy will be better received than the reception it originally had 3 or 4 years ago.
In any case, this has been a very long call. Are there any other business otherwise? And I don't see anybody put their hat up, so I thank you all for having lasted these 2 hours on the call. It's been very helpful, and we've made some good progress. And with this, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, everybody. This call is now adjourned.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Take care, all.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you all very much for joining.